We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in. We want to take just this quick moment to invite you to our vintage worship service today at 11 a.m. At 165 North Grove Street. Plenty of seats available if you like singing some of the older songs and getting into the meat of God's word, where we're just taking our time. Right now we're preaching through the book of Isaiah. And so if you would like to come through the come to that, we're pretty time conscientious. And so that will be taking place at 11 a.m. today, 165 North Grove Street. And if you were to show up today, you would see some of the handiwork of our sponsor that we want to mention today, Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. They have done work for us throughout the years, and so if you had questions, we could point to you to show you their handiwork. Decades of experience here in Brevard County, and believe me, that's not something that you want to try and tackle on your own. It is a lot of hard work, and these people do a wonderful job. We highly recommend them if you have any block or concrete work that you need to have done. So tonight we will be having our children's ministry that is coming up, and we're very excited about what God is doing in our kids' ministry. And we do want to mention one more time that we have our back-to-school shoe giveaway that is going to be coming up August the 2nd, and if you have kids or grandkids that would like to, that you think that could be a blessing to, we're going to be blessing the first 50 kids that show up. And unfortunately, the reason that we've put that number there is because of our facility size. If we said the first 1,000, well, we'd have no place to put 1,000 people or 1,000 people parking their cars right now. So we thought we would try and experiment with 50. And so for the first 50 people, now they do need to be there on Sunday, July the 26th. And they also need to be there on August the 2nd. The reason is we need to know how many people are coming, how many pairs of shoes to buy, what size, whether they're shoes for boys, shoes for girls, whatever it is. And so then on August the 2nd, we're going to have a major back-to-school emphasis at our sanctuary, and it's going to be a wonderful service. So those are things that are coming up. If you'd like more details, you can call us at 454-4263, or you can email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. So we've been talking about Joseph for the past couple of days. And so we want to take you to Genesis, the 37th chapter today. Genesis, the 37th chapter. And today's broadcast, I really want to talk to you about what it's like when people do bad things to you. And just about all of us have experienced things that were done to us in an unjust manner. Let's face it, we live in a fallen world. People a lot of times will think that they are doing the right thing, and they are actually doing the wrong thing because they only had partial information and not complete information, whole information. So thank God that he never makes those judgments. He never is in error. He never has to say, "I'm sorry," because he's never made a mistake. He has perfect information, and when he acts with perfect intent. And so let's look at what happened here in verse number 12 of Genesis 37. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, 'Some wild beast has devoured him.' We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness. Do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brothers listened. The Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn in pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and said, "I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Joseph did not embark on this journey by his own design. He was doing that under the authority of his father. He was to go and see how things were going with his brothers, and then he was to come back and report to his father. Now, I don't know what that exactly says about his brother's capabilities, but there must have been something going on that Jacob said, I need to know what is going on with them. Maybe he had perceived, after all, Jacob knew what it was like to be hated by your brother. Esau despised Jacob, and I'm not saying that Jacob was innocent in that, but Jacob knew what it was like. And so maybe he was noticing that there were some things going on in Joseph's brothers that weren't all that good. And so he wanted a report as to how things were going with the flock. Remember, Jacob had a vast amount. He had decades of experience in handling these flocks. And so he's looking for a report, and he sends Joseph, and he sends him first of all to the Valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. He sent him out of the Valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem, and he didn't find them there, and so he made an inquiry there and says, and said, "Where do you know where my brothers are?" And it was reported they've moved on from here and they've moved to a region named Dothan. And so he wasn't one of discouraged at this point and given up. He said, "Look, Dad sent me here and they're not here, so I'm going to go back and tell him, hey, where I don't know where they are, but they're not where you think they are." But instead, he inquired, found out where they were, and went, and he was going to return from there. The thing was that while he was approaching them, the brothers who hated him saw him coming from afar off, and they began to plot harm against him. I want you to know that the Bible specifically says that that is something that we are not supposed to do. We are not supposed to lay awake at night and plot evil against other people. We're not supposed to dig pits so that other people can fall into them. We're not supposed to set traps for them. We're not supposed to be planning how we can take from them what they have so that it will now belong to us. All of those things God denounces. He says those things are not acceptable. But Joseph's brothers, that's exactly what they're doing. And if you read the passage carefully, you will see that the one thing that they are wanting to do is they are wanting to kill the dream. It says in verse number 19, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him." Listen to this. "We shall see what will become of his dreams." They were trying to kill the dream, the vision that God had planted inside of his life. And so you need to be on your guard. If you are a person of vision, if you are a person who is living out the purpose of God, you need to constantly be praying, because the devil will try and plant people in your life that will discourage or destroy your pursuit of the vision that God has for you. Don't take it personal. He just hates you because you remind him of God. He hates the plan and the purpose of God. He hates the redemption of man. He despises anything that God wants to do in your life and my life. And so he is constantly trying to attack the person that God wants to use to fulfill his plan. The reason is because the scripture says that God's plans will not be thwarted. When God has a purpose in mind, he is going to bring it to pass. The only tactic that the enemy has is to attack the covenant people of God that God has chosen to use to bring about his purpose and his plan. He has tried this tactic over and over and over again. He tried killing all the babies in Egypt. He tried to destroy God's plan by killing Abel, and God raised up Seth in his place. He tried to kill all of the babies when Jesus was born. He is constantly trying to destroy the covenant people of God simply because God has chosen to partner with them to accomplish his purpose and plan. Jude says that you and I are to contend for the faith that was once and for all given to the saints. And so the devil will bring people into our lives that will try and kill the dream. He can kill the dream by, attacking us physically. He can kill the dream by getting you discouraged. I remember a conversation that I had when I was 19 or 20 years old, and it was with a person I knew very well. It was a pretty substantial church that I grew up. Started out with 37 people and grew to approximately 1,200. And people from a lot of different socioeconomic backgrounds. And there was one man, and when I went off to Bible college, he came to me and he said, "You know, I just pray God's best for you. He said, God called me into the ministry when I was a young man, and I got sidelined and got distracted in pursuing my career rather than pursuing the call of God. And so if God has placed a call upon your life, I want to encourage you, do not allow people to kill the dream or the vision. If that has taken place, I pray that God resurrects it in your life today. I pray that the fire would begin to intensify, that the embers would begin to glow again, that there would all of a sudden begin to be smoke that would arise as if you were rebuilding a fire, and that you would stir up the gift of God that he has placed within you. Don't allow people of jealousy and envy to derail the plan and the purpose that God has for you. So they were talking about killing him, and Reuben, Jacob's firstborn son, he recognizes that this is not a good plan. And so he tries to intervene and suggest an alternative, and his intent was to rescue Joseph and take him back to his father. As he was off doing something, his brothers saw this band of people that were coming from the region of Gilead. And they recognized that this was an opportunity to not only abuse and mistreat their brother, but it was also an opportunity to make a profit from it. Okay? Can I say this? There is some money that you don't ever want to make. There is some money that you don't ever want to make. I don't want to make money that's illegal. I don't want to make money that comes from harming anybody else. There are certain things. Some things are just not worth money. Your name is worth more than gold. Your reputation is worth more than gold. There are jobs that are perfectly legal to do here in America, but I'm telling you that the price tag for that paycheck is too high. It will come back to haunt you, because the devil will use your past against you in the future, if at all possible. You see, the difference between God and the devil, one of the many differences, is that God knows your past and wants to forgive your past and empower you to live a future that will glorify him. The devil helped bring about all of your past failures, knows them, has no intention of forgiving them, has no intention of forgetting them, and he wants to use your past as a constant weapon against you. See, two entirely different things. And so one of the reasons that churches like to pour into young people is we want to head off spiritual casualties. We want to minimize any damage that they may experience, because we believe in the God who calls and equips and empowers them, and we don't want them to have any more unnecessary baggage going forth, anything that would derail them from being an effective servant of the Most High God. When we were training up our kids from their earliest years, we wanted them to learn the price tag of failure. And so we were constantly encouraging our kids to try things. We were encouraging them, but we also tried to help them that if they were going to fail, that the failure would not be fatal. And so there, I know that a lot of people don't like to see their kids fail, and we don't like to see our kids fail, but we wanted them to learn that if you did something that wasn't correct in God's eyes, that it had a price tag, and we wanted to make sure that that was not a price tag that was going to haunt them for the rest of their life. Thank God that Jesus is bigger than our failure. I'm looking at the clock, and I really Don't know if I'm going to get through all of this. So let me cut to the chase. Reuben comes back to rescue Joseph and finds out that Joseph has been sold to this band of people for a small sum of money, 20 pieces of silver, I believe it was. Let me see, 20 shekels of silver. They sold him. So they lift him out of the pit. They sell him as a slave, and these Ishmaelites carry him off to Egypt. But the most significant thing about this passage of scripture to me is that this caravan had come from Gilead, and they had traveled a farther distance to get to where the brothers and Joseph were than Joseph had traveled. In order for them to get where Joseph was, they had to leave before Joseph ever left his father's tent. And the amazing thing is not just that they left before Joseph ever had a problem, before he was ever attacked by his brothers, but they came from a specific region known as Gilead, a region that was known for its healing balm. And it says that in their caravan were camels that were bearing spices, balm, and myrrh. And so when this caravan comes and they buy Joseph, they are from a region that is carrying healing balm. There was healing that was on its way before the wound from the attack had ever occurred. And I just want you to know that no matter what you're going through today, whether it's a physical attack or a personal attack, it may be a jealous coworker, it may be a sibling rivalry or a neighborhood conflict or something like that. But I want you to know that no matter what you're facing, God provided the solution for that before the wound ever occurred. And he didn't provide it through a caravan who was going to carry you off into slavery, but he provided the healing through his son, Jesus Christ, who wanted to set you free. There is a freedom. Listen, it's not a freedom to do whatever you want to do. It is a freedom not to make the decisions that you felt compelled to make in the past that kept you a slave to depravity. Instead, it is a freedom to live a holy and righteous life. God wants to set you free. And so the healing balm is available. And I want you to know that the healing that was available that day was sufficient, because later on when Joseph encounters his brothers again, he doesn't minister to them in bitterness. But here's the interesting thing. As they're having conversations, and this is now some many, many years later, many years after, and they are still living with the regret of what they did to their brother all those years earlier. I do want to tell you today that if you have mistreated others in the past, if there are some things in your past that are you're very ashamed of, and they're not right in the sight of God, you need to confess those things. Don't carry around that guilt. Instead, confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow him to equip you to make that situation right, because you don't want to carry around that guilt to your grave. Even after Jacob died, his brothers are still concocting a thing and said, please don't mistreat us. Please don't mistreat us. And Joseph's response to them was quite simple. He said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. That is the sufficiency of the healing power of Jesus Christ. One last thing about these brothers, and we're beginning to run out of time, is this. After they sold him and Reuben came back and began to help them to understand what a great wound they had just committed against their father. See, they thought they were vindicating themselves from this most favored son, and now because he had been carried off and sold as a slave and he wasn't coming home anymore, surely one of them would rise and Jacob let it be known that he was going to carry that loss to his grave. You see, you will never get ahead by pushing someone else down. The only way to be exalted is to submit yourself to God, humble yourself under his mighty hand, and allow him to exalt you in due season. And they come back and they stage the scene. They don't tell Jacob what they've done. They just arrange the circumstances and they allow Jacob to draw his own conclusion from the facts, quote unquote, that they have set before him. They took his robe, they tore it, they dipped it in animal's blood. Nowadays, we could send that off for DNA testing. We'd find out that it wasn't Joseph's blood. It was actually animal blood. You could see that it wasn't torn by an animal's claws or teeth, but instead that it had been cut by a knife or a sword. You could determine all of that sort of stuff with the forensic evidence. But they allowed Jacob to draw his own conclusion that his son had perished. They deceived their father because they couldn't deal with the reality of what they had done. I want to close this broadcast today by challenging you. Don't be the type of person that blames other people for your mistakes, but instead own up to it and say, this is what we did. Jacob could have done something. Jacob would have done something. It would have just left the brothers in a bad light. And so if you've been surrounded by people, I've got good news for you. The story does not have a bad ending. It has a miraculous ending. And so if some other people have helped set the stage, listen, our current society is all about staging the events that get us to draw the conclusion that God is bad and the devil is good, that the people of God are mean and bad and ugly, and that the people who don't believe in God, they're the ones who are really the benevolent people of society. I want you to know that's the conclusion that they want you to draw. Instead, I want to point you to the Word of God to show you that God is good and the devil is evil. God does good things for you. The devil does bad things for you. God will take what man does to you and turn it around for a redemptive person, or a purpose that will alter the world. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that anybody who has gone through, and Lord, maybe they've been on assignment that they've been sent on and others just didn't like them and set out to destroy the dream. God, resurrect that dream today for your glory and your praise. Heal in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.